Episode number 283.
And we don't care where you host or where your listeners are listening to it. We want to be the central piece that kind of helps you monetize the different directions the way you want to. And those are the features that are the next logical step for us.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy's always fired up. I think I'm giving you a little energy in your earbuds today. But after this show, I think you're going to want to start a show. I think you're going to want to start a podcast. I think you're going to want to up your game at your podcast. Because as we know, folks, in the year of 2020 and beyond, podcasts are taking over. And you're seeing it from Joe Rogan to beyond, from Spotify, you know, collaborations and every single radio company trying to get into this business. And a gentleman that has figured this thing out to help podcasters is our guest, our featured guest today, Mr. Nicholas Hildebrand. Nicholas, are you ready to be real?
Yes, I'm very ready.
Absolutely, my man. So to tell you a little bit about your business, Audrey, which is helping podcasters succeed, helping them find, basically how to grow, how to scale your podcast, get more advertising dollars in to make that money. Because as a podcaster myself, we all are wanting to monetize in the right way, with the appropriate brands. And it works because this is the new medium. This is a new medium. And why not? If you built something that you have listeners and you have the ability to make a little money from them, why not? You know, so you're actively doing that at scale from Berlin, Germany, to people around the world. So tell us a little bit about, Nicholas, your story, because I think it's fascinating that you would even get into podcasting in general, but now it's such a big thing that it's just a normal thing. You know, it's the mainstream, baby.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's crazy. It's exploding. There's the rate at which podcasts are being created is going up every month. Basically, last year we heard about 1 million total podcasts on iTunes. Wow. Now it's 1.5, 2 million. Who knows? There's so many out there. And one massive problem that podcasts have is just to get the reach. How do you find listeners? How do you build a podcast? A lot of people have topics they're passionate about, but they don't have the firepower to actually grow. And this is where Audrey came in. We built this platform and launched it 3 months ago, six months ago in March.
Gotcha.
Just a platform for podcasts to meet, connect, form collaborations, partner up to just grow each other's reach. And since then, these 6 months, we grew to close to 6,000 podcasts now.
Nice, dude.
So we were actually very surprised and amazed by the rate at which we grew without putting a single euro, really. Like, I think a few euro in AdWords, but that's it.
Just little minimal money to scale.
Exactly. So to test, would podcasters want this? Do they like this? And right now, it's just a platform for them to grow and succeed, as you said. But tonight we're doing this by connecting podcasts with other podcasts and creators in the space.
Gotcha.
So that you can work together.
Gotcha.
But now we want to extend this and kind of help them succeed in, like you mentioned, in the monetary sense and kind of live off their passion if they've grown.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point. And everybody wants to grow. So with Audrey, you're allowing other podcasters to kind of work together. Can we collaborate on our communities? Can we do another show? Can I get on your show? Can you get on my show? Can we swap audiences? Because that's just another great way to grow, obviously, as we know from doing live streams and social media. And every single time when I've had a show, folks, when I started my show 6 years ago, 5.5, 6 years ago, and I was taking a shot, you know, I started recording the first ones, my man, Nicholas, and it was just myself. And I was like, dude, I got to start interviewing people, you know, because it was their guest. It was the guest that was going to bring some of the knowledge and expertise to that conversation. Obviously, you want to listen to your boy a little bit, but that was the kind of the sweet spot is the interview style, as like we know with Joe Rogan and some of the biggest podcasters now, kind of like Jay Leno or kind of like anything you see in Good Morning America or anything you see on anything. It's an interview, but the podcast just allows a little bit more free flowing. I think the guests are a little bit more open. It's just basically a thing that I was like, hey, I gotta do this, you know? And
yeah,
that was six years ago, you know? And the numbers have still not been where I feel like, oh, I should be up there. But the truth is you still keep grinding. You still keep putting out shows and the catalog grows. right? And then cool things like your tool comes up where we didn't have this 6 years ago, you know? So that's the kind of the hyper thing that I want everyone to focus on right now, is that when you're creating a show, don't forget, it is going to be work. Like, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep making the shows and not just count on one show that did good and then the next show doesn't do good, but then the next show triples, and then it's just how it is. And so don't give up. But then, so tell us about like the sweet spot into where people are really using the tool or collaborating on right now. Like, where do you see them really synergizing the most right now?
Yeah, I mean, right now, one core problem is the podcast has told us before we started the show is like, I want to grow. How do I do this? Do I spend it on advertising? Do I spend it on AdWords, Facebook? But it's extremely expensive per extra listener, so it's really not worth it. And then the other thing is like, oh, how do I find people in my niche? Because a lot of people have very specific hobbies.
Right.
And if they're not doing an interview style podcast like you, they also might be have problem finding them because they're so narrow. So and this all happened on Reddit, Facebook groups, and so on and so forth.
Right.
What we added, and what people really like to use, is we added a couple of extra features to make it more convenient. It's more convenient to listen in. We provide the option to upload a trailer to people to properly present themselves in a way where they have an internal profile where they can say, hey, this is me. This is what I'm looking for. Right. Are you interested? And we automatically already pull in all the data on your shows, on your description. We just use your public RSS feed to kind of pre-fill your content.
Right.
So make it really easy to get on board and to get discovered.
Got you.
And then you can search by category. And one thing we did, where I think people appreciate a lot, is we allow people to specify how many listeners they get per episode on average. And then we verify that reach.
Yes.
Directly, which is a manual process. And then they get a check mark where you can say, we can build a level of trust that you might not have from a random Facebook profile on a random dude posting on Reddit.
Yes.
And then they can chat, figure out how they want to work together. And then we've seen a lot of good results of people just actually meeting, connecting, and just partnering up.
Yeah. And that's, it gets to another thing, because I think the analytics are also very hard to discover as a podcaster, because these shows go out to so many different platforms. Sometimes the data is pretty good. Sometimes it seems a little different. And I've heard that from other podcasters too. I mean, there's stuff you hear even too, where podcasters feel like they're getting a lot more views, but their censorship and stuff. I mean, you're hearing even different stuff about just because the content of podcasts with COVID and everything going on, you know, that people get their stuff censored, even their biggest shows. But beyond that, the analytics are really tough. So how do you guys do that? Is you guys use proprietary tools, or do you guys use, just go into the analytics of the different shows, or how do you guys chart the analytics?
Exactly. So there we have, I mean, the analytics are different because everybody has a different definition for what a listen is.
Gotcha.
Right. So some platforms say it's just the download of the RSS feed. Some say the episode needs to be listened to for at least X percent of the episode, unless it doesn't. Otherwise, is it streamed? Is it download? And so on.
Right.
We are a bit flexible there. So basically, we work with the podcasts that get verified. We ask them to send screenshots from that from their hosting platform, from the analytics provider, whatever they're using.
Right.
And then we have a process for every single hosting, or for the top 20 hosting providers. We have a specific strategy and just process that we apply to give a good, fair assessment, because at the end of the day, it doesn't need to be 100%, but you just want to know, if I have 500 listens, am I going to approach someone that has 10,000 per episode?
Right.
And we want to just kind of put you in a range where it makes sense and you're more confident to also reach out to someone, and you're not completely blind on who you're even talking to, and if your reach is way too high or way too low for the other person.
Right. Yeah, because do you feel like people that they want to have the same reach capacity? If I have 1 million listeners and you have 1 million, then we can collab. If not, then it's not the right fit.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it goes both ways. People are too scared to approach big podcasts, and big podcasts might not get enough value out of small.
Right.
But also, we since we have all these numbers, people can just decide for themselves and say, okay, this is a larger podcast. Maybe I change my pitch. Maybe I'm a good interview guest.
Yeah.
Maybe I can bring so much value to this bigger podcast. But then when I message them, I can reflect it in my pitch. And I want to be on your show. I think it can contribute in this and this way.
Right.
It might still make sense, even though I'm much smaller. And then still everybody can get the value and just
Joe Rogan has interviewed the same guest I've interviewed. Joe Rogan's podcast has how many more downloads than your boy, The Be Real Show? But I've interviewed the same guest a week after he interviewed the same guest. So the truth is, it's the content in general the expert themselves, right? The expert themselves has a great content, maybe whether it's a book or whatever. And no matter what size you are, I'm nowhere near Joe Rogan size, but I'm somewhere between zero and Joe Rogan, right? Like the biggest podcaster, I'm somewhere between zero and that. And I can go get the same guests that they get. You know, you can feel free, especially if you have a cool interview show, as well as you can do exactly what you said is if you have a good topic that you are all about and you understand more than anyone else. Like I think I could bring value on social media to some podcasts. And I've done that over the last few years, come on their show, bring them some hot fire and it hopefully impacts their live listeners to do some things in their businesses, make some tactical changes, things I'm seeing, you know. I can't necessarily go on someone's show to talk about podcasts. I don't know everything about podcasts. I know a lot more about social media. So you find your niche and you go on other people's shows. Hey, I can bring a lot of value to you guys. I'd love to give away contest prizes and I'd love to do some fun things with your listeners where your people are going to be turned up and you're going to want me again as another to come back again. You're going to want to have me as a guest again, even though they're much bigger. And then you show up and you deliver, folks. Boom, you're in with a golden person, whether they have a million followers, 2 million, 10 million, 100 million, or 500, you know? And so, because I think that's the thing that also, Nicholas, that people get, they get disheartened by not having followers. And it's psychologically sad. It's a real problem with social media, even though I work in the business. And also in podcasts, because you're putting all this effort into it, and you're like, no one's listening to this damn thing. You know, well, that's what happens when you first start a show. You know, unless you're Justin Bieber and you've already built a huge following and then you decide, oh, I'm going to launch a show. Like, it takes time. So that's the thing I would always just say real quick on this is just don't ever forget, folks, like the beginning when you start it's a growing steps and like it goes over time and just don't give up on yourself, you know? So then tell us where you think this can go, man. Where do you think, how do you think, we have 6,000 podcasts right now, you say, around there?
Yeah.
We can get 10,000, 100,000 podcasts, probably easily, because you got 500,000 new podcasts or a million podcasts coming on, like you said, you know, per year. So yeah, 100,000 a month almost, 100,000 new podcasts a month, dude.
No, I think it's 1.5. The numbers, the assessment is, that's one of the things about podcasts, where there's no central company that owns podcasts the same way there's one that owns, like YouTube owns the video, Instagram owns the images and so on. There's one company that does everything.
Yeah, so people are hosting on their own. Some people are doing their own show on their own websites. Some people launch on iTunes, but then some people don't even go on iTunes, right? Like,
exactly. And there's so many different forms. For us, I mean, our next milestone obviously is the 10K. We want to get in the five digits.
Let's go, baby. Quickly.
And then hopefully keep growing and keep accelerating. And 100,000 podcasts in the next 1 or 2 years is definitely, I think, easy. On the table. It is absolutely. All about us, how much value can we drive. Right. And I think there's just many ways. Some podcasts have told us they prefer Facebook groups. What we are doing basically is that Facebook groups like convenient, there's more users sometimes, like tens of thousands already on some Facebook groups.
Right.
But there's some things that Facebook groups won't be able to do, right? Yeah. There's a couple of technology, especially on the monetization side. I mean, right now, who is really properly earning money from their podcast? The top 5 to 10%. Nobody that makes enough money to live off their content.
No.
And I mean, that is like this in many media formats, like the same, but if you compare, say, influencer marketing is the same style, but we feel like the quality is so good for even the long tail podcast, because it doesn't take much to get a few thousand followers on Instagram. Right. It's easy. Right. Just put a couple of pictures, a couple of bots, and you got it. Podcast takes way more effort than usually the followers come, the content, the quality is already there, and then the followers, the listeners come after. On Instagram, you do it the other way around. So we feel like there's a lot of podcasters that are not unfairly treated in that sense by the system, because they don't have access to monetization. They're forced to kind of use the monetization offerings that their hosting platform actually forces upon them. So they don't even have control if they want to sell their own ad space, let's say in a automated way, because they don't have that much reach, but they can't negotiate with agencies or brands. They can't. They just tell the hosting platform, do it. And we feel this is one point where we can help. Yeah. We say we're just an independent platform, and we don't care where you host or where your listeners are listening to it. We want to be the central piece that kind of helps you monetize the different directions the way you want to. And those are the features that are the next logical step for us. We want to obviously improve the whole networking aspect and just collaborating and growing. But the next logical step for us is monetization and helping podcasters monetize on their own terms. And just basically introducing monetization for some they don't have access, right, or empowering other people to just kind of control it. And there's multiple things that, I mean, right now, the absolute lion's share of revenue comes from advertising in podcasting. It's almost all advertising. And then there's a bit of subscriptions, where a bunch of podcasts make a lot of money from subscriptions, but most just do it through advertising. So this is where the money is in the short term. But for smaller podcasts, it is basically completely excludes them from monetization. And with CPMs of $20, if you have 1,000, 2,000 listens per episode, it's not that much.
It's not that much money, yeah.
And there we feel like we can just help. And there's multiple ways where you can offer subscription technology, where you just run your subscriptions, you run your ads, we help you backfill stuff. We already run first tests with some of our podcasts, where we say, hey, let's do some affiliate deals. We have already contacts to brands that are willing to pay $50 to $100 per subscription. You have a great relationship with your few hundred followers. Yeah. If a few of them sign up and it's a product that you like, you don't even need to force them. You just ask them, are you interested? You can make $100, $200 on that, or you make 20 on a CPM type deal.
Yeah. I think that's the future. That's the future. What you said is beyond the reach is bigger than the CPM, because I've been in the advertising business, bro, for literally like my whole life, literally out of college, right to Disney, ABC television, selling digital CPM, selling TV ads, selling, you know, McDonald's and big customers, working with them. My business, social media, same idea, same thing, certain clients, CPM, blah, blah, blah. But the value of that listener is much more, like you said, if you can get them to make a purchase, if you can get them to buy your product or an affiliate's product, that's the moneymaker. That's the real moneymaker. And they even talked about, you know, with all these big podcasters, what they could do is literally just start launching their own brands. And some of them do, you know, but have every single advertiser be your own product, right? Instead of, if you're getting a million downloads per show, let's just say, and Nicholas, you know, every single break, instead of it being a $20 CPM client, it could be your own product. It could be all stuff that you love.
Exactly.
Whether that's an affiliate, you know, affiliate you love, or a product you created. And you can make a lot more, they think, that way than just selling ads. So, and you could still have ads. You could have ads. You could have that. I mean, you could have a blend. But I think that's the bigger ticket for podcasters is these sale relationships where you can drive some money, you know.
And a lot of stuff is also stuff that you do. Knowledge content is extremely valuable. But right now, every podcaster is giving out for free. Right. Obviously, most people would not subscribe to podcasts immediately. But what I've seen from a lot of successful podcasts is they have the base content is free. This you just subscribe to the podcast, you consume it. And there's premium content that you can opt in and buy for a subscription. And people do it through Patreon or other platforms that just kind of help them build this up.
Totally.
Where you don't even do invent a product that is physical, but you can just have extra expert interviews. Or you have an interview guest for half an hour and then you do a 2-hour session afterwards where you dive deeper on specific topics. Then people can just buy on demand.
Right.
And I think podcasting, the way it's now, is still very much at the beginning. And I think it's going to change in the format where a lot of educational content will come to podcasting.
Yeah.
Where people can just do classes. Instead of a podcast, you do a 10-step course that you sell.
Yep.
Or people can subscribe to, and that is off the regular podcast, which is just like the intro stuff.
Right.
And then you have all these great things. The problem is there's no technology to facilitate a kind of advanced.
Right. Libsyn, like, iTunes, no one is doing this for you.
Yeah, exactly.
No one is doing this for podcasters.
And the thing is, do you want your hosting provider to do it and to kind of to force you? And then if it's like you have a Spotify, then okay, Spotify is gaining reach. But then if Spotify has half the reach and Apple has the other half,
right,
do you only monetize, 50% with one and 50% with the other?
It's too weird.
Or you're looking for something that is just, you manage your monetization and then you don't care what people listen to.
Smart,
ultimately, dude, that's the thing where you need, and this is a little bit like where we want to go. And we're saying, okay, you need to be independent. Your hosting platform is where you host. Not who is telling you which ads you run.
Right. That's another way. The hosting is, that's another way for them to make money. Let's just be real.
Exactly. But is that the person that you want to do? And that, since there's no Facebook, no Google, no Instagram that owns the podcasting platform.
Yeah. So really smart.
The hosting is the easiest to basically start this. But we don't think it's the best company or player in the market to actually do with it in the end.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a good idea, dude. A really cool idea. Not only what you're doing on the front end just to connect and build these relationships, but then to help us monetize, because when you can do that, my man, and you can bring some podcasters some money, they're going to tell a friend. They're going to tell another podcaster, hey, did you hear about Audrey? You know, they're going to just be sharing that because they're getting paid, you know, and then you can create affiliates. Hey, every new podcaster you get on and sign up with me, you get paid $20, just like all these shows do. I mean, they all do this, right? I mean, they're all different platforms are trying to get people to go to Anchor, you know, getting paid by this person or whatever. So really smart, dude. I think you're in a driver's seat, my man, to the moon, my man. Let's go to Mars, dude, instead of the moon. Yeah. We're going further than the moon, my man. But now, are you ready? We're about to take you into our top 10.
Sure.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Netflix. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Instagram. Chicken or steak?
Oh, steak. Easy.
Love it. Do you have a favorite cut of steak? Do you have a favorite type of steak that you like to eat?
I love ribeye.
Oh, yeah. Ribeye is bomb. Absolutely. Laptop or a smartphone? You got to get out the door right now.
Oh, laptop.
Laptop. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Spotify. Movies or video games?
Video games.
Nice. Reading books or listening to books?
Listening.
Sure. Love it. Do you do Audible or do they have something different in Germany?
No, Audible is also here. It's just mostly podcasts.
Mostly podcasts. Yeah. Both things. Stocks or real estate?
Stocks.
Stocks. Oceans or lakes?
Or ocean.
What's your favorite German-based stock right now? Because we don't get a ton of, a lot of obviously the media we get around here is just all US-based stuff. What's the best German-based stock right now you can think of?
German-based stock. Without doing too hard, there's a bunch of stuff that is stable. I would say the most interesting right now would be Volkswagen, where I say they're the only German car maker that will jump on the electric car train and actually might make it work.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, they're going to make it work. It's going to take time and collaborations and stuff, but Volkswagen's been around a long time, and they're going to make it work, dude. Great car company. I remember my grandparents loved the Volkswagen, so they had the Beetle and the Rabbit, and we've had many a Volkswagen in our family because they got passed down to my dad, and then we drove it. And so great car, dude. Really great car. When you wake up in the morning, my man, you're getting ready for the day. Why do you love being you?
Because I'm building my own company, and I'm actually selling a product that I'm passionate about, unlike other products I've sold in the past.
Got you. That's the most important thing when you're selling, right? Is that you love what you're doing. It makes it that much easier, right?
It's just it's more like telling people about my hobby than actually selling something.
Yeah. And they're buying in on their own, you know? So the podcaster themselves is buying in on your dream. And then you get to just facilitate that, make them happy, bring them, so obviously bring in the bacon, the revenue, the followers. And if you do that right, they're going to tell a friend, and that's how you grow, man. That's how you get from 6, 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 100, baby.
Yeah,
you can get to a million. Why not? You can get to a million, bro. Let's go as big as possible. That'd be a nice recurring revenue business right there.
That would be very nice.
Do you think you'll ever retire? He's like, that would be really nice.
The 100% of last year's podcast. It's a good goal. If people grow, why not? Yeah.
Hey, the most recent thing I saw this last week was, if your dreams don't scare you, then they're not dreams. So it's just a dream. Hey, we're going to get you to a million recurring revenue monthly podcasters. It might take 10 years, but dude, that's not bad. That's not too long.
That's possible.
Hey, shit, bro.
Not that long.
Are you kidding me? You'll be like this, bro. And then before you know it, you'd be 100,000, 200,000, 500,000, 1 million. Because I don't see how people are going to slow down. I mean, I do know people give up in podcasting, but I think that there's a lot of more people that still do what I do. And like, hey, this is just a great avenue. I'm going to start a show. I'm going to keep grinding, and I'm going to keep doing it. And so I think it's just a new vehicle that is taking on board. And when the next one's available, we'll go to that, you know. But I think it's the vehicle for now, and I don't see how audio is going to change, you know. So do you have a routine to start your day?
Usually just get a coffee, read emails, walk to work.
That's what you do? Yeah. Is that your routine, to walk to work?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, dude. Get outside.
Exactly.
How long is your walk usually to get to work?
I mean, just recently moved offices, so it's in right now just 15 minutes, and then I'm there. But I just walk around the block some more if I need more time.
Right.
And then every 9:30 in the morning, I call with my team, talk about the day, what we're going to do that day, and then get going.
That's awesome, bro. Hey, you're the leader of the shit, baby. That's one of the best things about being a boss, baby. Do you have a skill you're trying to master right now during these times?
One is definitely content marketing. So I feel like for us, content is king. We're helping content creators.
Right.
We want to get our message out. So we're currently reworking our website, our brand. We're working with a design agency for this. I feel like this is the thing where I'm not perfect yet. And I think creating content is one of the number one skills that any entrepreneur needs to have.
Yeah. Because you're doing it right now, my man. You're doing it right now.
If you're good at it, it's cheap. And it's still great and it's helpful, helps you other people. And that's still something I'm trying to get better at.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing you can do is tell your story. That's the biggest thing you can do in content marketing. I mean, there's a lot of other gimmicks. So there's a lot of other things you do. Emotional, funny, motivational, contests. These things all work. Give away your Audrey. Give away 10 accounts, you know, for a year. You know, and see what kind of engagement that spikes on social. There's just things you can do to kind of gamify it and obviously, you know, trick the algorithms to get the more engagement, et cetera. But in general, overall, my overall overarching strategy since I started my business and since I've been in social is just tell your story. What are you going through? Why do you love doing this? How do you love helping people? Where do you see this growing? That's what works.
Right now it's even completely free. We don't charge podcasters anything that the platform offers right now. It'll stay that way. There might be premium features, but at the end of the day, the way we see it is content creators should not be the ones paying necessarily for what they're getting, but there's so many advertisers, sponsors, followers, listeners, and so on that want to contribute either by getting something back, like advertising, or just donating.
Right.
I feel like if we can facilitate that, we can take a cut from this, and then the podcast can still do it for free. Because at the end of the day, if they succeed and they have fun and they make money and they create more content, it also is ultimately more money for us than in the end, right?
That's really
cool.
So
if we help them be successful, basically grow with them.
That's a great idea, dude. So it's free, guys. We're going to put the show links in there. You guys got to check it out. Do you have a favorite app on your phone right now?
I do not. I think one I really like is OneNote. I use OneNote. I always have all my notes on my phone, and it syncs all my to-dos, because I'm right now very busy. So I'm in a stage where I forget everything that I do not write down. Down on my phone, get on my laptop, and they're all there, and I don't need to worry about copy-pasting stuff.
Right. So it's just one place. Just OneNote, baby. That's a great, great app. If you could sit down to a ribeye steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
I think I would like to talk to the founders of Wondery, like how they built the podcast network, and I really understand how they built something so long and made it so successful, and how they got Spotify to pay so much money. Just kind of understand these people just are great at content, they're great at producing, and they have a way of storytelling, which is, like I said, I'm working on getting better at content marketing.
Right.
They've rocked it in our field. I think I could learn so much, and that would be great right now. Also, or Elon Musk, but that would just be for fun.
Dude, that guy is he's like changing the world in so many different ways. Yeah. Crazy. Well, I really appreciate you, brother. I think you are in the driver's seat to many more podcast listeners, many more people that are hosting the shows, that are joining your platform. You got one for me, dude. We're going to get you. We're going to definitely get on the platform if we haven't already, but I will definitely make sure we get on the platform. We promote you. The show itself right here, man, folks, you got to go check out this app. If you got a podcast or you want to start a podcast, this is the place to get going right here. And where also is the best place for people to find you or connect with you online? Where is your favorite place? Instagram or Facebook? Instagram.
LinkedIn is probably the easiest.
LinkedIn,
Based in Germany, so not that active on Twitter. Trying to get in there because just also for the space, but message me on LinkedIn. Email me directly. It's nicholas@audrey.io. So just email me directly if you have any questions, if you have any ideas to sign up and say this feature is missing or I hate that specifically. Let me know. We're all about that feedback. Negative feedback often helps more, or constructive negative feedback often helps more than.
Hey, that's a good way. That's a good point of view too, right? I mean, because you can learn so much just by listening.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of challenges. We grew so fast. that we didn't expect it to explode like this. So a lot of features that we had built that worked for a small scale is a bit more complicated now. Right. So I was looking now for people to join us that help us kind of improve the platform even more and get our speed of development up so we can just drive all the values much quicker.
Well, baby,
we're reach out.
My dude, we're on the train. We're on the choo-choo train to the Mars with Elon Musk, because you are going to be getting to a million podcast listeners, or not listeners, but hosts joining the platform. I could see it within 10 years, at least 1 million, baby. We're going to hit 100,000 before we know it. 10,000 first and then 100,000. My dude, you are a great dude. Great energy today. Folks, you've been hanging out with Nicholas Hildebrand and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, you know, decisions, they're looking at your, you know, at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.